John chapter 3 and verse number 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for, Lord, all that we're experiencing this month. It's been really great just having a personal interaction with some of our missionaries, and I think it adds to everything else that you're doing in our midst. What a blessing to have hosted the missionaries you've sent our way, and we pray for them, Lord, and are so thankful for them giving their lives to serve you. Lord, tonight we're going to take a look at a very specific subject that I think fits right in our missions emphasis month, and we pray, Lord, that you speak to our hearts, Lord, as we travel through the Bible and pick out some verse, kind of hand-picked verses that the preacher, Lord, through the Holy Spirit, helped me pick out, and I hope it'll be an encouragement to our people. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. And I'm going to have you take a little trip through the Bible with me tonight, and I'm going to take a look at five verses, what I think are the five greatest verses on the subject of giving, the five greatest verses on giving. You know, folks, I got to thinking about this. If you wanted to shut down evangelism, I mean 100% shut down all evangelistic efforts in every corner of Christianity, the devil could do it by doing one thing: robbing Christians of the spirit of giving. Robbing Christians of the spirit of giving. Now, some of you may be thinking about giving money. I'm thinking about that also, and we'll talk about that. But I'm talking about giving out of track. I'm talking about giving out the gospel. You know, where do missionaries come from? Well, they come from young people that are growing up and have a heart, a tender heart to serve the Lord, and at some point make their way to an altar and say, Lord, I'll do whatever you want. If you just show me what it is, I'll do whatever you want. And by the way, till you're willing to do anything, I don't think God's going to specifically tell you anything. And so just whatever, Lord. And then God directs them and works in their life, and somewhere along the line points them to where he wants them to go. But wait a minute. Show me, shut that down. All of a sudden have every Christian in the world stop saying to the Lord, you can have me. Giving of ourselves first, evangelism is shut down. Because there's then no more preachers and there's no more missionaries. By the way, there's no more people serving in the pew. You know, if you're not willing to give of some of your time every Saturday, there's no bus ministry. If you're not willing to give of your study time to study the Bible and prepare, there's no more Sunday school. If you're not willing to give of your time to go to a nursing home, there's no more nursing home ministries. And the minute that we become so selfish that we no longer are willing to even approach the subject of giving, come on, a preacher ought to feel very comfortable coming to his pulpit and preaching on the subject of giving. And yet in America, of all places, it seems like that the reaction that comes from God's people a lot of time is very negative the minute they hear the subject presented. But if we kill giving, we kill evangelism. If we kill giving, we kill the gospel. And again, I am talking about money. We'll talk a little bit about that. But I'm talking about a giving spirit in all areas of life. And so every once in a while, I like to take this little journey. It helps me personally. I have read and I think studied almost everything the Bible has to say in this matter of giving. And so it wasn't easy for me to come up with five verses, but I'll share mine with you. If you chose five verses on giving, they may be a different list completely because the Bible has a lot to say about it. But how can we not start with the first one, John 3:16? Think about that. This could be maybe the greatest verse on giving in all of the Bible. Because the Bible says here, very familiar to all of us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The word give is found 880 times in the Bible, gave 465 times, gift 59 times, giving 29 times, gift also. And so for over 1,430 times, just these four forms of the word, giving is found in the scriptures. I think the Bible's a lot about giving. And you know what? God doesn't just ask us to give. He set an example of giving before us. He gave before he asked anyone else to give. And so think about this. We are made in the image of God. Let's be reminded of that. Genesis chapter 1, God said, let us make man in our own, in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and so forth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Now, folks, God is defined by giving. God is a giving God. So if we're made in the image of God, it ought to be very normal, very natural for us to want to give. Matter of fact, we have to almost kill the God part of us to stop giving. There's no person in this room that can claim godliness, can claim to be a godly person if you're not a giving person. And so giving, I believe, is a measure of our godliness and a reflection of our love. It's the nature, think about this, we'll go on to the second verse. It is the very nature of God to give. Can we say that about ourselves? I want it to be my very nature to give as God has given to me. So the first verse and the five greatest verses on giving is John 3:16. Let me take you to Malachi. We weren't going to dodge Malachi, folks. Malachi, the very last book in the Old Testament, Malachi chapter number 3. So number one, it is the very nature of God to give. The very first verse, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. Number two, if you look at Malachi chapter number 3 and verse number 10, Malachi 3:10, Bible says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine own house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Of course, this verse is prefaced by verse 8 and 9. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. And because of that, verse 9, ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. And so number one, it's the very nature of God to give. Number two, the giving of your tithes and offerings will guarantee God's blessing upon your life. You know, the greatest financial advice that I could give you as a preacher is this: be faithful in the giving of your tithes and offerings to your local assembly. If you'll do that, that's baseline, that's foundational, that's elementary level Christianity. If you'll do that, then God then will begin to bless you in a way that he cannot and will not until you're willing to trust him in this matter. Say, preacher, what is the tithe? The tithe is 10% of all that God has increased us in a week's time. That might vary from week to week. Because you know what? God is a lot more generous sometimes than we stop and think about. I think this does a number of things for us. Number one, it makes us stop every week and consider how good God's been and how generous God's been. If I'm going to calculate the tithe, first of all, I've got to calculate how much he's given to me. And so it's a time to pause and to look and reflect. Because like I said, there can be some things that God has brought into my life and benefited me financially that just goes way beyond just what my paycheck was that week. And I stop and I calculate and I think, and all of a sudden I'm reminded God did this for me and God gave this to me, and somebody handed me a gift card, and this week somebody had gifted me and Cheryl just something out of love, and all of a sudden I'm looking at this thinking, oh my goodness sakes, I can't write this check the same way every week. But it makes me stop and review the generosity and the goodness of God. And so that's one of the great things about tithing and taking the time to be meaningful about it and thoughtful about it, is it makes you review that. And then it allows me to give my tithe, and a tithe is 10% of all of my income, all of my increase. Bible uses the term all my increase. So anything that God has increased me in a week's time, 10% of that is the tithe. The Bible says the tithe is the Lord's, okay? That already belongs to him. That's why he asked the question, will a man rob God? Because the tithe belongs to the Lord, all right? Everybody listening. It's important that you hear this. If you are not tithing, you are stealing what belongs to God. You are a thief. And you're not stealing for Jerry Ross. You're not stealing from your fellow church members. You are robbing God of what belongs to him. That is not a light thing. And that is proven because God attaches a curse to it. And he says that ye are cursed with the curse. You have robbed me, even this whole nation. And he goes down verse number 11. He says, promises to open the windows of heaven. Verse 10, but he goes on and says, I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord. And God said, listen, if you'll just trust me on this and you'll tithe and you'll be obedient, you'll give me what belongs to me, not you, me, belongs to me. Then he said, it allows me to open the windows of heaven. It allows me to pour out a blessing upon you. It allows me to rebuke the devourer. And folks, a lot of times, I think one of the best things my dad taught us for all those years as Pastor Blessed Hope was this. He would from time to time look at all his members and say, everybody tithes. Everybody tithes. Because God is going to get his 10%. Okay? And I can't live your life. It's not my job to live your life. But I'm telling you, you're tithing whether you want to or not. And it is just interesting to me. The people who refuse to tithe are the people that are always having financial problems. Right. You know why? Because God's unleashed the devourer in your life. God pulls the strings. At any moment, he can take everything that you made in a week. Everything. Now think about this. So if I'm going to end up losing the 10%, God's going to get it somehow. I can voluntarily, with a cheerful spirit, give it to him and receive blessings. Or I can refuse to give it. He's going to get it anyway. And I'm living under a financial curse. Please explain to me. Just stop me in the foyer and rationally explain to me why that makes any sense in the world. And a preacher that will from time to time talk to you about tithing is one of the best friends you have. From time to time, people will come in and they've got their finances in a mess and they want some biblical financial counseling, which is, by the way, good thing to get. But you know what? One of the first things I'll ask them is, do you tithe? Do you give tithes and offerings every week? Do you give tithes and offerings? I understand people get paid different, but you know what I'm saying, on a regular basis. And a lot of times, most of the time, they'll admit they don't. And I'll say, are you willing to repent of that and change that and get right in that area and start doing that? And a lot of times, the first thing that will come out of their mouth is, preacher, we can't afford to. And I'll say, well, how you doing now? You can't afford not to. There's no way in the world that I can give you biblical financial advice that's somehow going to fix financial problems if you insist on being disobedient to God in the matter. Listen, folks, please listen to this preacher. I love you. I love my congregation. I love God's people. I want God's blessing on your life. And it's the best way you can get it financially is just show up every week by faith. Preacher, I don't even know how in the world we could even afford to start doing that. Just do it. Well, we can't afford to because we got to pay, pay, pay. You don't pay, 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 and then see if you can afford tithe. You tithe, and then you pay everything else after that. And see, didn't God say, prove me? Isn't that what he said? Prove me now, herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open to you the windows of heaven, pour out a blessing, there shall not be room enough to receive it. And so I think one of the most important verses of my that I could share with you is Malachi 10. 3 and chapter 3, verse number 10. Let's go to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. 5 verses, and then we're going to send you home. What am I doing? Man, I am way too good to my church. I've got to look at that because I'm not sure. I'm just not way too good to you. All right. Luke chapter 6. I didn't hear any amens. I heard some chuckles, but I heard no amens. This is a great verse on giving. Watch this. Luke chapter 6, verse number 38. Give, wow, what a promise. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the, this is the principle, for with the same measure that you met with all, it shall be measured to you again. And so one of the things that, one of the Bible principles we're taught here is God's generosity to you will always be proportional to your willingness to give. And did you see what that said that? And so he said, you know, if you give, it'll be given unto you, but not just given back to you what you gave. He said it'll be given to you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you met with all shall be measured to you again. I guess one of the classic illustrations I've heard preachers give over the years on giving, and I suppose it's a made-up story, I don't know, but apparently there was a beggar, and he was sitting on the side of the road, and he was begging, and he had nothing to his name except a little tiny pouch with some rice in it, just a few grains of rice in it. And all of a sudden, a big caravan comes by, and a very rich king comes by, and he stops, and the beggar's excited, I'm going to be gifted something, and the king said, give me what you have. Give me what you have. And he was so shocked to hear that, because instead of this king giving to him, he's asking him. He said, give me what you have. And he's looking up and down at this caravan. He's looking at all the obvious wealth of this king. And he said, what do you mean? And he said, I mean, give me what you have. But I have so little. Give me what you have. And so he pulled out this pouch, and in it was, you know, maybe, I don't know, 50, 100 grains of rice. And he opened the pouch and, give me what you have. And he reached in and he just picked out a couple little grains of rice and he handed it to the king. And he said, is this all that you will give? And he looked at his rice and he almost got angry and he looked at all the king had and he said, that's all I'm giving. And the king said, okay. And he opened a pocket and put it in it and went on down. And this man sat there and fumed because this king with all his wealth just marches and parades that wealth before him. And then all of a sudden, about the time they were gone, one of the messengers come back and he had three little pieces of gold, the same size as rice. And he gave him the same exact number that of pieces of gold that he was willing to give of his rice. And he said, open your hand, and he drops the same three little pieces of gold. And that man opens his pouch and realizes, if I would have just dumped the whole pouch into the king's hand, I would have a pouch full of gold. And folks, I don't know. Again, is that a made-up story? Probably. Good illustration. A lot of good illustrations are made up. Some of the best. Probably no truth in it. But it's a great way to illustrate it. And folks, I think, you know, you think about the song, I wish I'd have given him more. And I think when we get to heaven, folks, we're not going to fuss and cry over what we gave. We're going to look at what we should have gave. And, you know, John Rice used to say, I think there's a room up in heaven somewhere that God may show all of us. And it's all the things that God would have given us and would have blessed us with if we'd been willing to give. And so God's generosity to you will always be proportional in your willingness to give. I love Acts chapter 20. Let's go verse number four, Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20 and verse number 35. Let me give you this fourth principle. What have we learned so far? It is the very nature of God to give. If we want to be godly, then it ought to be our nature to give. The giving of your tithes and offerings will guarantee God's blessing upon your life. God's generosity to you will always be proportional to your willingness to give. How about Acts chapter 20, verse 35? Giving always results in a blessed and happy life. Acts 20, verse 35, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. You know, I preach a message, I preached it, I guess, several times here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church over the years, on the more blessed life, the more blessed life. Now, it doesn't say that it's not a blessing to receive. You know, that's kind of understood here. It is more blessed to give than to receive. And all of us have been on the receiving end where somebody's done something kind for us or been generous to us. And, you know, that's a blessing. There's no way we can say that that's not a blessing. We go, oh, I didn't expect that. Wow. And we're not overwhelmed just by the gift, but the love and the thoughtfulness of somebody. But wait a minute, that may be the blessed life, but that's not the more blessed life. There is a blessing that's greater than that. And Jesus said it is more blessed to give than to receive. The more blessed life, your life will be characterized, I believe, by one of two mindsets. You'll learn to be content or you'll learn to be covetous. You'll learn to be content or you'll learn to be covetous. And I think that in our lives, we need to examine that. If you spend all of your life just constantly coveting, constantly wanting something, or if you'll spend your life being content with what God has given you, then one of two things will eventually control your life. Nothing reveals more about who you really are than what you do with your abundance. I want to say it again. Nothing reveals more about who you really are than what you do with your abundance. Abundance is that which God provides to you above and beyond your needs. When God finds out that he can trust you to be a good steward of his blessings, his abundance, he will entrust more of his blessings or his abundance into your care. And then you'll begin to discover the more blessed life. And what is the more blessed life? Giving? It's great to receive. But I'm going to tell you something. I have more fun probably at this stage in my life in giving than almost any other thing that I do. I love to give. I love to give of my time. I love to give of my talents. I love to give of the and share the wisdom that God has taught me through the years. I love to give principles from the Bible that I hope will help people. But I'm going to tell you something. I just like to give as God directs me. Now, folks, we've kind of put some challenges out before you. And you know what? I want you to take them seriously. I want you to take that book. Did you already lose the book? Did you even put your name on it? If I ask you where it was, would you be able to find it? Don't miss the opportunities that you have in front of you to really, for the first time, for some of you to discover some of these things and be involved in some of these things. You know, to send out 68 emails, you know what I had to do? I had to give of my time. And folks, when you give your time, you give your life. That's why time is the most precious of all gifts. Because if you give of your time, you give of your life. I can give money and then maybe recoup that money at some point. But I can't give time and ever get it back. And it's just a wonderful thing to be able to just say, Lord, I want to give my life to you and I want to give my life in service to you. And most of the service to God is in service to others. And so to be able to just say, Lord, I just want to live this more blessed life. I'm not worried about what I'm getting. I don't keep a tally of what's come in. I just, Lord, just direct me and give me an opportunity and show me different ways, Lord, that I can be a blessing. And as the Holy Spirit directs you, a simple challenge. Your pastor said, hey, just go back there, go up and down. And the Holy Spirit will direct you if you'll listen to him. And I had so much fun earlier this week just going and rereading the letters. And every one of the people in that hallway is worthy of an extra gift. That's the one thing I told Cheryl. I said, the problem is there's needs in every one of their lives. I said, but you know what? Here's the thing. I really believe this. I love this experiment. And I have no way, because I'm never going to ask anybody to fill out a piece of paper or give a report. It's between you and God. But I just believe that we have a God in heaven and a Holy Spirit that indwells us, that if everybody here was 100% honest, preacher asked us to choose one missionary that we already support and just give something sacrificial, something a little extra in the offering plate designated to them, so that in March, instead of getting their regular check, they would get something more than that. I just believe that God would direct each of us to make sure that all of the money went to the right people. I believe that. And I will tell you this, I considered it and I prayed about it and God directed me and we chose more than one and we sent some extra money towards three or four different missionaries that were no more or less deserving than the rest, but those are the ones the Holy Spirit asked me and Cheryl to help. I can lay my head on my pillow and say, I did what the Lord wanted me to do. I didn't just ignore that. I did it. Now, folks, listen to me. That's the more blessed life. I had more fun writing that check and writing out the different people that God told me what amount's supposed to go to each and put it in a plate this morning than if I would have received five times that in the mail this week. It's the more blessed life. It's the more blessed life. And so one of the rewards of learning to give is that this happiness and joy comes from giving. And, you know, that is the reward of it. Knowing that I've been obedient to the Lord with what He's given me. Because everything I have belongs to God. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. And to be directed by the Lord specifically in this matter of giving, there's just nothing quite like it. Let's go last of all, verse number 5 to 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. These are good verses. Can't have a missions emphasis month and not talk about the subject of giving. Like I said, if you want to collapse and destroy evangelism, just shut down giving in the hearts of God's people. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, look at verse number, I'm on 1 Corinthians. I was going to say that didn't look familiar. 2 Corinthians chapter number 9 and verse number 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 6. That does not look right either. What have I done here?
2 Corinthians 9, 6.
Does it? Well, where am I at? Somehow, I ended up back in 1 Corinthians also again. Jackson, come here. All right. Find 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I do not trust myself. But I trust Him? All right. Thank you, buddy. What is going on? I'm going to date myself, but I thought I was in a Twilight Zone episode for a minute there. What is going on here? All right. We're good. 2 Corinthians 9. And verse number 6, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. Look at this, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And folks, again, it's one thing to be obedient, and it's another thing to be cheerfully obedient. And the more that you give, the more you'll learn to rejoice. And the more you give, the more that you're going to have a peace that passeth all understanding. And the more that you give, you'll find out that God's debtor to no man. Look right up here. If you make a decision to give and you say, well, the Bible does say prove God, so I'm going to do it for 2 weeks. And then if I don't get any cash returns, I'm not doing it. Don't you think God knows the motive of your heart? You know, listen, you're playing checkers, he's playing chess, okay? You're not going to outmaneuver him. And let me just say this. I've had people that started giving and say to me, preacher, we started giving, and in the first month of us deciding to tithe, the car broke down, the washing machine broke down, and this happened and that happened. And maybe God says, yeah, well, prove me. You know, we think prove me means immediate blessing. Sometimes God's like, why don't you prove me? Did I lie to you in these verses? And you know what? The devil would like to discourage you. And he'd like to keep you from giving. And so you have to decide, you know what? If I give and bad things happen, I'm going to give. You know why? It's commanded. It belongs to God. If I give and good things happen, then I'm going to give. I'm just going to give. And I will tell you, it doesn't mean that you'll never have a financial setback, or you're never going to have car trouble, or you're never going to have anything go wrong. But I will tell you this, consistent obedience always reaps blessings. Now, God said this, I want you to give, but I want you to be happy about it. I want you to be cheerful about it. I mean, it'd just be awesome if next Sunday morning, you know, the place going around and people are dropping in and going, whoopee! Woo-hoo! have praise and worship during the offering. I know some of you, okay? Please do it on Sunday night. Don't scare away our first-time visitors, all right? We may not do that out loud, but we ought to do it in our heart. And there's a happiness that comes from it, but there ought to be a happiness that accompanies it. Now, folks, I can stand before you with a clean heart. I can lift up holy hands. And I can tell you, your preacher does not just preach these things to you. I live it in front of you. And God is my record, and there'll be a judgment seat, and it'll be there for all to see. I understand giving is a very private thing. It's supposed to be. And so we don't advertise what we give. And the Bible says there's even a danger in doing that, because we can become like the Pharisees, blowing our trumpet every time we do finally get around to giving. And that's it's a very private thing. I am telling you, if I'm lying, I'm dying, hand on the Bible, that this is how we live. This is how we live. Everything I own belongs to God. Everything I have belongs to God. All God has to do is whisper that something of that he's allowed me to enjoy or allow us to have needs to go somewhere else, and it will be gone. That's how we've lived our lives. And you know what? We can't keep up with the blessings. And I'm not going to do it with a bad spirit. And I'm not going to begrudge what God asked me to sacrifice. Because good night, folks. I was born in the United States of America. I mean, look at how blessed we are. I could have been born in some third world country somewhere and right now be that beggar sitting on the street just hoping to get a few grains of rice. We are so infinitely blessed here. God allowed the gospel to find my mom and dad when I was 5 years old. And my mom and dad got saved. And I got to be raised in a Christian home. Think about that. And God saw me safely through, you know, my adolescent years and safely through my stupid teenage years when I did tempt and test God a few times, and then safely through my college years. And sometimes, I mean, to the point where I had so little that there was times I was searching the back cushion of my Ford Torino, hoping some change fell out of somebody's pocket that I gave a ride to so I could have enough gas to get to work. You don't know what it's like to be poor. You don't know who I am. And you don't know what life I've lived. I've watched my wife literally make meals for a week out of just flour and water and some cans of green beans. And we live on that for a week. So don't come and tell me I don't know. But I found out this. No matter what we have or what we don't have, we're not stealing what is God's. We're not stealing what is God's. And you know what? Short term, it may not seem like it works, but I'm going to tell you it does. And so I hope that these verses will be a help to you. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for how good you are to us and how generous you are to us. And Lord, the honest truth is, Lord, the poorest, or what we consider the poor people in America, live like kings compared to much of the world. And Lord, I just pray, dear God, that you'd help us.